Verse 8, chapter, I said 13, 14. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? I want to talk about uncertain sounds. There's a lot of it going on. There was a lot going on in 2004, Brother Steve, and there's a whole lot more going on today. And I imagine if 16 more years, if the Lord don't come back, who knows what it might be. Of course, I won't be around here probably. A lot of us won't be, Brother Lowell. It'd be all right, though, wouldn't it? But there's some uncertain sounds about a few things I want to talk about, and I added some to this today from the other time. I think I need to pray. Y'all help me pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for another opportunity, Lord, to be able to stand. God, you know our hearts tonight. We know we're not worthy. We're not able. We know we need your help. So, Lord, we ask you to help us tonight. Speak to our hearts and encourage us through your precious word. Lord, we are living in that last days and dark days and perilous times. As believers, we understand that. But Lord, we know, as your people, we've got great things ahead of us. So Lord, we ask you to encourage us tonight, help us to see the truth of the time that we live in. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Uncertain sounds. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot going on, ain't there? I mean, things that I would have never dreamed of. Things that you'd have probably never dreamed of. Calling good evil.
That's right.
And evil good.
Yes, sir.
But you know, a lot of things that's going on, the people that's carrying it on, doing it, they don't have a clue really what they're doing. They don't. I saw a car, which me and Kathy was coming home the other evening, and there was a car in front of us, had a bunch of stuff wrote on the window. And I looked at that, and I can't remember exactly what it said. It's crazy. I never did make no sense out of it, Steve. It said something like, I understand. I don't understand why I don't understand, but I know what I know is, I'll not say the rest of it. You can guess. And I thought, what's that mean? I called my brother-in-law. He's behind me. I said, what's that mean? He said, I ain't got no idea. Uncertain sounds. That's uncertain sounds about the devil. And I just want to say not too much about the devil. Don't want to give him credit for nothing. But he ain't changed.
That's right.
He's the same.
Yes.
The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. You can say the same thing about the devil. Brother Lord, he ain't changed. And not so much here maybe tonight, but there's a lot of people. They don't come out and say it. But in the back of their mind, they kind of maybe give a little ground to that he has changed. But he's not changed. He's deceptive. He's on the front lines. He's on the back lines. He's everywhere. And he's not a friend. And I don't think anybody in here thinks he is. But you might know somebody that thinks he is. And they may be somewhere down the road you might have an inkling to maybe to think that he is. But he's not. He's not our friend. The Bible tells us about the devil. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. For your, what? Adversary. That means he's our enemy. He's our adversary. He's like a roaring lion. He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So he's not our enemy. So we don't want to be deceived in thinking You just can't give him no room, Brother Steve, at all. You give him an inch, and the old saying, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You give him a mile, and he'll take 10,000 miles. So the devil, he knows how to do it. He's a lot smarter than we are. We ain't no match for him. Paul, he said, I fear lest by any means, as Satan beguiled thee through subtlety. That's the way he works, Brother Lord, through subtlety. And I'm not, I don't have too good a grammar, don't know too much about that kind of stuff, but I think I know what that means. He's subtle. He slips in, slips out. He uses preachers. He uses deacons. He uses anybody that'll let him use them. Let him use them. He won't discriminate at all. So he's not our friend. Let's be aware of that. That's first and foremost in our lives as believers. There have been a lot of good people. Good, saved people. They got to thinking wrong about the devil, and he made havoc of their life. He will you too if you give him opportunity. They patting him like just about everybody. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, they're patting the devil on the back. And they'd have you think he's a pretty good feller. But I want to say tonight he's not a good feller. And I'm going to say tonight, don't give him opportunity. Because if you do, it'd be a bad mistake. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. He might not get you sold, but he can get a lot of other stuff. Been a lot of good Christians. Brother Lowell lost her. I sound like Joe Biden, don't I? Testimony, that's what I'm trying to say. Poor old Joe. He's a lot older than I am. That tells you something, don't it? Lost her testimony. Lord, help us. We've gone too far to do that. Uncertain sound about the devil, and I'm not going to say anything else about the devil. I don't guess. Maybe not. I got two or three other things I want to talk about a little bit. Uncertain sound about the life of a believer. And I take no pride at all in talking about this. But what I'm going to tell you is the truth. You can't hardly tell one anymore. And I'm the opinion. We got a lot of people sitting in churches today that's never been saved by the grace of God. I know a lot of people that claim to be saved, claim to be Christians, and you couldn't tell it by the way they live. I know, Brother Lowell, I know some unsaved people that live a lot better than they do. More honest than they are. More truthful than they are. Ought not be so. The life of a believer. We ought to be honest.
That's right.
We ought to guard our testimony.
Yes.
We ought to do everything we can to live like we ought to live. And I think everybody in here knows how we ought to live. This book tells us how we ought to live. The life of a believer. The life of a believer is not health and wealth, like a lot of them says. Matter of fact, I guess if we was doing what we ought to be doing, it'd be a lot rougher than what it is. Apostle Paul, he put in jail everywhere he went. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Cast down, but not forsaken. This is a lot in the Scripture about our trials. And it also tells us in the Scripture that trials comes from walking the walk and talking the talk. So stands to reason that probably The reason we're getting along as good as we are, because we're not doing what we ought to be doing. Paul said that's a trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. We don't think of trials as being precious to us. But Paul saw it that way. You know why? Because every trial will bring you a little closer to the Lord. So, a lot of uncertain sound about the believer, the life of a believer. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. But we're in a battle where the victory's already been won. We have a source of defense for the battle. Paul tells us, writing to the church of Ephesus, said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. You know, we look at the battle. I've thought a lot about this every time I read this. Really, I think about it. We look at our lives mostly as being physical battles, physical trials and battles and so forth. But that's really not where the battle's at. Really, to a believer, I'm not going to try to put a percentage on it, but I would say it would tip the scales heavily to the spiritual side. You see, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've been born again. We've been saved by the grace of God. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're just passing through. And the problem we have is trying to drive our stakes too deep. We get too attached to the things of this world. And Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. That's where the important part's at. The things which are not seen. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now you tell me which one's more important. Eternal things. We've been trying to lay up some treasures for several years now, Brother Lowell. Ain't going to be too long. We're going to be capitalizing on them things. I know we could have done a lot better than what we have done. We all could have. But it's important for us as believers to keep our eye on the right road. Not to get distracted with the things that's going on. And I know we're all human. And a lot of things is important to us. All our family's important. It ought to be important. It ought to be. Brother Steve, he's been blessed with a grandchild. And he kind of can relate what they're precious to us. Our families are precious to us. The things and necessities of life are precious to us. And we have to have those things. But let's don't get distracted from the main thing. And the main thing is eternity. And that goes for an unbeliever also. If you can get somebody that's never been saved, if you can get them to looking at eternity, you might get somewhere with them. But I start to say, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. I'm the opinion, that's the day. Perilous times. Evil times. Never seen nothing like it. If there's ever been a time for God's people, Brother Lord, to bow up in the back and get ready to start fighting, it's about time to do it. And I'm not by no means encouraging any kind of violence. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual things. Uncertain sound about the lives of believers. I guess what I'm trying to say is, well, do what we can, or to be what we can be, for the cause of Christ. If we don't, there's coming a day when we wish you had. Uncertain sounds about the time we live in. Some people would have you to say, you know, there's a revolution coming. Things are going to get better. All we need to do is just cut back on the police. Write a little bigger check. Amen. That ain't the answer. It's perilous times. Paul called it perilous times. He wrote to the young preacher, he said, this know also, that in the last days, how many believes that we're in the last of the last days?
Yeah.
I think we all do. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It's just like a headlines of a Sunday morning newspaper. Men should be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that do good. My, can't believe that, can you? Despisers of those that do good? Never heard of nothing like that. That's what everybody's saying. That's what everybody's doing today. If you stand for anything, if you stand for any kind of religious, I'll use that loosely, if you stand for anything like that, you're despised.
Yeah,
that's right. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, then more than lovers of God. You know what it said? From such, turn away. Time of deception. Time of deception. People being deceived. I think John said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's bad enough. If you said this, Brother Lowell, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's scary. Well, let me move on. Uncertain sounds about the condition of the unsaved and salvation. Just today, I've been trying to witness to a feller I worked with. And you know what we say. You know the saying, he's a good old boy. But really, he's not a good old boy. I know what we mean when we say that. Scripturally speaking, ain't no such thing. Ain't no such thing as a good old boy. You're either a bad old boy or you're a saved old boy. So today, every now and then I'll try to put something in, slip it in, you know. But I got enough sense and understand. His brother's a preacher. And I don't know what was said, but anyway, something to the effect. He said, you know, may not be going to live much longer, something like that, something other, and you know, I don't know. And he said, anyway, I said, well, better be making preparations. Yeah, he said, you can help me out on that. I said, no, I can't help you out. He said, maybe my brother can help me. And I said, no, your brother can't help you either. He said, I'll make that decision. Maybe I'll make that decision before long. said, it ain't no decision. And this is where myself and I hope nobody in here, I don't think so, maybe, may disagree on some things. It's no decision. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'll talk to you about it later. And you try to talk to a man about nothing like that unless he's under conviction, because he don't understand what you're talking about. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. He don't understand it. He don't know what you're talking about. But if I ever get a chance, I did witness this man one time, years ago, and I believe God was in it. God was a dealer, but he turned it away. I'll talk to you later about it. Actually, this guy was a plant manager where I worked. And I've stayed in contact with him through the years. Intelligent man, as far as the world's concerned. But a dumb man, spiritually. By the way, they all are. Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You tell me how a dead man could make any kind of a decision spiritually. It don't work. That is an uncertain sound about an unbeliever. So, some good people, a lot smarter than I am. I'd be the first to say that. More intelligent, a lot smarter. And I've heard them make statements just totally wrong. You know the sayings. Take them down the wrong road. I'm here to tell you tonight, that ain't what happened to me. And I told that man today, he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, I can't talk to you about it. You wouldn't understand it. He said, well, how do you know what you're saying is right? Because I know his brother don't believe what I'm talking about. And I told him that. I said, your brother wouldn't agree with what I'm talking about. And I said, you wouldn't understand it. He said, well, how do you know it? I said, because I experienced it. That's the only way you know. You might be here tonight and you ain't never experienced it. I hate to give you the bad news, but you're as lost as a ball in high weeds.
That's right.
Uncertain sounds, and that's a real uncertain sound about unbelievers. Condition of unbelievers. No possibility and no capability outside God. And outside of God, the work of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 3, John wrote, the wind bloweth where it listeth. There hears the sound thereof. Can't tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. What he's really saying is, you can't make the wind blow. But when the wind's blowing, Brother Lloyd, you need to get in it. Unregenerate man, the Bible says, his heart is deceitful and wicked. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I think sometimes, Stephen, I thought about this, and I don't want to get somewhere where I don't need to be. But sometimes we even pull back from reading these scriptures if we're not careful. And the devil, you know, he's working there too. Like I said, he's on the front line, sideline, everywhere. If you don't believe it, try to never sit down and study it a little bit. Pray a little bit. I mean, I'm talking about pray, really pray. He'll be there. He'll hinder you. He'll put you to sleep. He'll have you be praying about something, and he'll have you thinking about something over yonder 4,000 miles away from here. I know that's the way he does me. I don't believe I'm any different than anybody else. I don't know. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. That pretty well describes it, don't it? That is the way it is. You believe the Bible? Well, I'm out of time. I'm going to skip the next two and go to the last one. That be all right? Because I don't want to live, I don't want to end up on a positive note. What the believer has in store for him. Uncertain sounds about that too. I'm talking about in the world system. A lot of people believe a lot of different things. You wouldn't believe what all you can hear if you get out there and talk to some people that profess to be saved and go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday Wednesday. Well, maybe not Wednesday night. I mean, you can hear just everything. Well, I heard it. There was a feller, and I think I'm not going to mention no names. There was a feller said one time, all we have to fear is fear itself. Anybody remember that? Some of you may not be old enough. All we have to fear is fear itself. Well, if you're here tonight and you say, by the grace of God, you don't even have to fear itself. Romans chapter 7, I believe. I read this today and it just struck a note with me. The great apostle Paul, my opinion, greatest preacher that ever walked on this earth. He said, what about Jesus Christ? He didn't come to preach. No, honey, he didn't come to preach. He done some preaching. He come to save. Apostle Paul said, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is, now, this is Paul. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He said that about himself. He's a lot more honest than most of us. But in the very next chapter, Steve, he comes down there in verse 1. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're talking about good things in store for the believer. Let me just read you two or three other things. Will you let me do that? I can't hardly see good enough to read, tell you the truth. Okay, over here in the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that's you. The Apostle Paul writing to this young preacher. Boy, this is one of my favorite places, really. Let me see here. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Now we're living in perilous times. Everything's going wrong. Don't look good. No, every way you look, everything looks bad. Brother, I. Bad times. Perilous times. Times of deception. Time like we ain't ever seen before. He wrote to this young preacher. And actually, I believe this. He wrote this to Timothy. But I think it might have been directed more to us than it was to him. You say, well, how would he know that? Well, you know. God knows everything. But he said this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. It'd do us all well to read that every day in these times that we live in. I'm going to go over to another place that I really like. I had two or three marked here, but I don't know. We'll maybe end here. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. I'll never forget one time when I was just getting started back preaching, Brother Steve. Me and Brother Billy, I kind of took a liking to him. I hope he took a liking to me. I don't know if he did or not. He wouldn't say much. I asked him, I said, Brother Billy, what is that? Because I didn't know, honestly. It's been a long time ago. He said, two immutable things. I said, what is those two immutable things? He said, why? John, that's an oath and a promise. Did you know that? Oath and a promise. That's what Brother Billy said, and I bet you know what he's talking about. That by two immutable. See, when you know that, it makes this next verse sound mean a lot more. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Thank God. We need some anchors in the time we live in. I'm talking about anchors of the soul, the spiritual man. Again, I say this again. We need to worry more about the spiritual man than we do the physical man. We need to worry more about the spiritual side of life than the physical side of life. And I know we don't do that. None of us don't. I don't. You don't. None of us do. But if we would, Brother Rose, we'd be like a bear in this book. Which hope we have is an anchor of soul, both sure and steadfast. I believe that. I've got my eternity staked on it. Both sure and steadfast, which it entereth into that within the veil. Well, I got one more sure we'd like to read. Then I'll be done. A preacher holds you 30, 40 minutes over a lot of times. I'm not going to do that. Just about two more minutes. Steve took too much time. I figured I'd be up here about 10 minutes. But listen, we need this. We need this. As God's people, we need this. We need this word. We've got a future that the world knows nothing about. And I don't know about you, but that's meaning more to me all the time. I wake every morning, I started doing this here a while back, Steve. I wake up every morning and somewhere down the road I'll try to, get my head, get my bearings. And I'll say, thank you, Lord, this is another day I'm closer to heaven. Well, you pray the same prayer. Because every day you get up, you're a day closer. You may not be as close as I am, but on the other hand, you might be closer than I am. We need this, what I'm trying to say. It's an encouragement. This book is an encouragement to the believer. It's a love letter to us. And I tell you, I'll be honest, I'll tell you right now, I don't treat it like I should. I don't read it like I should. But that don't change the facts. Okay. Let me see. I promise y'all quit here. For which cause we faint not. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Man, we just think sometimes, we're just low, just heavy, we can't go nowhere. Can't move another, can't put another foot out. But our light, and I've saw this and seen this in my life. A lot of times, things that were so devastating to me, Brother Steve, 10 years down the road wasn't near as bad as I thought it was. Have you ever experienced something like that? Well, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Done said that. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God A house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. If we believe that tonight, old Brother Jack used to say, if we believe this, I mean, with passion. Brother Jack used to say, it'll make you want to charge hell with a water pistol. You remember that, Larry? I remember it vividly. Thank y'all.